Dear friends, we are almost at the close of the beautiful 13th chapter, which brings out the tremendous efficacy of knowledge. The Vedanta scriptures always insist that the bondage and the resultant suffering is because of the ignorance, and therefore the only solution is knowledge. When the knowledge comes, that knowledge liberates, and the process that has been applied in the 13th chapter is very unique to show the distinction between the perceiver and the perceived, the changing and the unchanging, and to discover the unchanging core of our being. That is the secret for the peace, for the love, for the liberation, everything that we really seek in life. It is all in this unchanging aspect. Because of ignorance, we have got all that mixed up. Something that is changing, we ascribe unchangingness to it. And something that actually doesn't change at all, we superimpose the categories of changing on it. So, because of this, we have all these problems of confusion and not able to see what is exactly that I look for in life. It is therefore here that we see this light being thrown by Lord Krishna, that learn to have this clear understanding. Our regular understanding or knowledge, when do we consider it to be sharp knowledge? When we can clearly see the differences between various things as well as the similarities that connect them. So, here also Lord Krishna tells that see the separateness, the seen and the seer, they are separate. Like the body, it is not really the seer. Body is not I, it is something that is seen, like this microphone or this podium. I see this podium, therefore it is not I. Similarly, the body is something that I see. Do we not see the body? We see it, and thus it is part of the seen, not I, the seer. And just think more deeply on these lines, and we can easily see, as it has been shown there, it was that thesis was promulgated right in the beginning by Lord Krishna in this 13th chapter, that the seer is same in all different pieces of matter or the bodies. The seer is not different. The being here and the being sitting there in Olu, they are not different at all. The bodies are different. But what are bodies? After all, there is nothing like my body and your body. It is a false identification. My body, it is one heap of flesh, blood and all these. If you want to go deeper, you can say all different electrons, protons and such particles at one place, another similar particles in some other place, and they keep on shifting and changing all the time. It is one heap, somehow I call I, another heap as you. But that I and you associating one heap of matter with one bit of awareness and another with another bit of awareness, that is where the confusion is happening. If we look penetratively, this truth will dawn upon us that the seer is same in all different fields or pieces of matter. There are no two seers at all. And then why do we feel that in one place the seer is happy, in another place miserable? Because of our identification with matter. The happiness or unhappiness or elation or depression, they are not really attributes or aspects of seer, but they are aspects of seeing superimposed on the seer. When our perception becomes clear, then we can see that the seer actually doesn't have any of these qualifying adjuncts to it. It is therefore one and the same. It appears sometimes that if a nice crystal, behind that is a red cloth, then the crystal appears to be red because of the association of that red cloth. But is the crystal really red? That crystal is not red. And depending on the cloth or the object that is placed behind it, it reflects that color, that's all. So similarly, associating with some changing states, we feel ourselves to be, young or old, or man or woman, or some animal, or whatever. This is all the false association. Because of habit, because of the long-standing impressions, it is taken to be real. I am so and so. I am so many years old. I am a man or I am a woman. And then that sense automatically brings all sorts of desires in one. And when this false identification goes, those desires also go. It is these desires are dependent on this core ignorance that I am so and so, and thus remaining becomes then the world. And because this division is not real, somehow the tendency is to obliterate it, to get rid of this false division. And desires is indicative of that. Why should we have desires? Desires mean dissatisfaction, friends. If I am satisfied, I have no desires. If there are desires, means I am not perfect and satisfied. That is why I get the desires. I need something. And where is the cause of this? Because of this false division. I am so and so, and this is the world. With knowledge, this false division, this break vanishes, and you see the same truth pervading everything, clearing all the desires in you. And when the desires are cleared, you are happiness. The desires are the obstruction to happiness. Happiness is right with us, inside us. No object ever can give us any happiness. It is always the nature of the self. It is not even quality as such. It is the nature of the self that is bliss. And desires are the obstruction to that happiness coming forth. When the desires therefore are cleared, you feel happy. It is just as you feel happy if you have a desire to eat a cookie. You eat the cookie and for that moment that desire is cleared and you see you get a momentary sensation of happiness out of it, just because that desire is now taken out of way. When all desires are taken out, then we are happiness. So friends, it is in the 13th chapter, this is the whole idea to bring forth that this knowledge of oneness of the perceiver, and therefore non-existence of what is perceived as anything separate. It also gets absorbed in perceiver. There are no two left. And so it was told in the 26th verse that whatever we perceive, whether moving or unmoving, whether living or so-called non-living, everything is a combination of perceiver and perceived, a mixture, a knot between the two, a terribly complex knot of perceiver and perceived. The knot is so complex that we cannot separately see what is perceiver and what is perceived. That is the nature of this complexity. Tremendously complex knot. But there is nothing in the world apart from these two, perceiver and perceived. And so, whatever comes out in this world, it is only this, the knower and the known, kshetra and the kshetrajna, the perceiver and the perceived. So, it is told, therefore, that now look at the sameness of the perceiver, which in the second verse has been described as God Himself. And that is God. The God is to be perceived as our true nature, very close to us. There is no one, nothing in the world that is closer to us than God. Not that God is sitting, we show to the skies, they somewhere sitting in the heaven. No, God is very close to us, right here. Sri Ramakrishna used to therefore point out here. God is right here, not there as such, there as well, but primarily to be found as here, our very soul. So, that is to be seen. And then also you see that very God is this involved in every being, not only in me. One may say, yes, God is in me, but my neighbor is such a bad fellow, how can God be there? No, God is in every being. The same God. And the same God is in this body and also in the mosquito that is sucking the blood from this body. And not two different gods. Same God is in the eater as well as in the eaten. And the food that I am eating, that also has the same God as the ether. It is just exchange of matter. Do we not see it? It is just exchange of matter. When one eats, what is happening? It is matter kept somewhere. It changes its position, that's all. That is called eating. So, Lord says in the 27th verse, very beautiful and really sublimely eloquent. Samam sarveshu bhuteshu tishtantam parameshwaram vinashyasu avinashyantam yapashyati sapashyati. He who sees the Supreme Lord abiding equally in all beings, the imperishable amidst the perishable, that person sees indeed. Because that person sees the truth. Otherwise our eyes are cheating ourselves. We are not seeing at all. If I am seeing something that is not true, then that cannot be called as seeing. Seeing is only if I am seeing what is real, what is true, then only it can be called seeing. So, the Lord says here, Samam Sarveshu Bhuteshu, in all beings, every being, Samam means equally present in all beings. Like the ocean is equally present in all waves, not that some 100% present in all waves. All waves are only expressions of ocean. Not that there is ocean only in a so-called good wave and not in the so-called bad wave. Ocean is present in every wave. It is its nature and is pervading it equally. So also this Parameshwara. Parameshwara is a beautiful word. It can be translated as God, the Lord, the Lordship, the Supreme Lordship, Governorship. That ocean governs the waves. So, what governs us, what changes us, it is this matter is governed by the consciousness. That Supreme One Divine Awareness, that is the governor. There is no other governor. It is that alone governs. So, that is the Lord. The word Parameshwara is, in Sanskrit, it connotes this idea. Parama means the supreme, and Ishwara means the one who governs, who controls and governs. So, this supreme controller of everything, and we do not see that controller, that supreme governor, is sitting right inside us. There is a beautiful section in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad called Antaryami Brahmana. The indwelling nature of the self is brought out there. Indwelling nature of the Lord that governs everything. Ya prithivyam tishtan, ya prithivyam antaro, yam prithivina veda, yasya prithivi shariram, ya prithivyam antaro yamayati eshata atma antaryam yamritaha. Very beautiful, very sublime, very powerful verses, friends. It says that, look, the one who is pervading this whole earth, it is pervading in this earth. But the earth doesn't know it. It controls the earth from inside, governs the earth from inside. And earth is its own body, and therefore the governing comes rather easy. This analogy is given to show that governing to our own bodies comes rather easy, comparatively speaking, than governing what we see as other bodies. If I want to raise my hand, and if I am not a paralytic person, it just depends on my wish. I can control my hand. But if I have to say, lift Nancy's hand, then Nancy should get that wish. I cannot say, hey, by my wish, Nancy's hand doesn't get lifted up. So, it is, therefore it is told that this whole universe is the body of this self. So, therefore, if the control comes so easy to it, just as the control of my body comes easy to me, and not very easy that either, but comparatively, therefore it is just an analogy. Early morning, I have to make my body get up early, even though I desire, it doesn't many times get controlled by that. So, but compared to the body of the others, it is easier. So, here, the whole thing is governed by Lord from inside. And therefore, in Upanishads, you get this beautiful idea again and again, that its governance cannot be challenged by anyone, because it is governance inside. Its governance cannot be rejected by anyone. You have to abide by its governance. You cannot fool it. You can fool the FBI or IRS, what is that, IRS also, if you are lucky. If you get a good lawyer, it is easier. But it is, you cannot fool the God, because God is anyway watching you right from inside. You cannot fool God. External government, it has limitations, cannot do much. It can keep watch on many, many things, and yet it can be evaded, that you can put some barriers so that you don't get watched completely, and then there is limitation for the external governance. But for internal governance, there is nothing that can stop its governing. It watches, it is keeping constant watch on you. Like the gentleman who was telling me that I had told him, hey, you are cutting the fruits to be offered to God. So the rule is you should not be tasting it while cutting. And he said that's very difficult, you know, to keep that temptation off is not easy. Said, well, but that is what you have to do. He said, okay, I'll try. And then he told that, I had the temptation thinking that nobody is there, nobody is watching me, so why not put a piece in my mouth? But then I realized, well, that I am watching myself, so somebody is watching me and I am going to get caught. So that is how the governance of God is like that. Antaryami yamayati antaraha, that it controls from inside, and therefore nobody can transcend its governance. So this is the great idea, friends. And therefore, if you can get a real governor, a real administrator, sees that how to get inside and then administer. The best way of administration is that. It is the administration by becoming bossy and shouting at people and all that doesn't work. The best administration is you get inside. Identify. The real good administrators are like that, that they get inside the person, and thus then they govern that being from inside. And so it is very difficult to transcend the governance of such an administrator. It is external administration has limitations, you see. But when you get become an inner administrator, then you really have the power and control. So Lord is that everything therefore is going by the control of God, as it is said in Kathopanishad, beautiful word, bhayad asti agnishtapati bhayad vayu, that it is because of its fear, and because this big administrator is there, and because of its control, the fire does its work of heating, the wind does its work of drying and blowing, and so forth. All they are doing their work without failing, and that it is because of this great administrator. They cannot transcend the administration of this great being. So that is Parameshwara. Is inside us, watching us from inside. You cannot fool this person. You cannot tell that, well, God is not watching me. He is always watching you right from the inside. So, and vinashyatsu avinashyantam, that same all-pervading being, that is controller, is not going to be destroyed. It is the indestructible principle in all of us. That which never gets destroyed, never changes. It is same in all. There is no change in it. There is no distinction in it. It is same yesterday, today, tomorrow. The time is a wave on it. And time doesn't touch it. Like the various colors appear in the skies, depending on the clouds. The clouds, they come on the skies, they go. When you see it is black, dark clouds, you say the sky is dark. When these clouds are reddish, they have a reddish hue, you say the sky is red. And so forth. The sky doesn't have any color. Sky doesn't get tainted either by any of them. Similarly, all these changes of body, changes of thoughts, they come and go in this, on this sky of Lord, who is my true nature, unchanging. Let us feel that unchanging nature of the Self, friends. And let's feel that the clouds of the changing body come and go, pass on it. Can we not see it in our lives itself? That, well, there was a cloud, tiny cloud that came on the sky of the Self. I was a child, just 2 years, and then felt so bad, so constricted, that everything, I was so dependent on everything, on others, but I was happy too. Sometimes I was happy, sometimes I used to cry so loud. It is now that picture goes away, that cloud goes away, another cloud comes. I am running to the school, I am playing with other kids, learning and so forth. That cloud is also slowly passes away. I had some friends, I had some foes, again that also was changing, coming and going. Cloud on the same sky, same high, that is, then I grow up, they say a bigger cloud comes there, with different associations, different shapes, different likes, dislikes, and different clouds get associated with it. I call some as my husband, my wife, and then some clouds get called as my children. And again, a cloud, they come, they go, and the Self remains unchanging like the sky. Think of that, all these bodies, I am none of that. It is the clouds come and go, leaving the sky unchanging, unperturbed, the same all the time. Vinashyatsu avinashyantam. These clouds, they are formed and they go, they are gone. The bodies, they come, they go. The thoughts, they come, they go. Elations and depressions, they come and go. I, their eternal self, eternal background, that never changes. I am that. It is this knowledge, friends. Vinashyatsu avinashyantam. In the midst of all these changes, let us focus on the unchanging self. In the midst of all pictures, let us see the unchanging screen on which these pictures appear. The screen looks like a nice beautiful scene, and that very screen looks like a scary demon appearing there. Somewhere there is the fight, a big battle going on. Sometimes you see sun shining, sometimes you see terrible rains and snow. Same screen. Let us see that screen in our life. That I am that. I am not the changing body or mind. This is a true spiritual practice, friends. Spiritual practice should be focused on this. Vinashyatsu avinashyantam. They trying to find and hold on to the unchanging in the midst of all changes. It is not possible to stop the changes. In this world means change. Time means change, friends. So you cannot stop changes. You cannot stop aging of the body. Oh, I must remain young all the time. Okay, how can you remain young all the time? It is, the body means change. It is, changing is the nature of that. But what never changes is ever young. The millions of years may roll over that sky. This, it doesn't taint it, it doesn't touch it, it is beyond time. So, vinashyatsu avinashyantam. Let us try to discover that unchanging principle in us. That is the purpose of life. That is the spiritual practice. The unchanging core of one's being. And Lord says, yap pashyati sa pashyati. The one who sees that, that person alone sees. Nobody else sees. Because what we call seeing is seeing something that is false. That is not real. How can you call it as seeing? You are not seeing the truth. That is the meaning of that you are not seeing. Our seeing is only the changing bodies. That which passes. And we are not able to see the unchanging true nature of the being. How can one possibly call that as seeing? It is not seeing at all. So, next verse emphasizes and makes this understanding more concrete. Samam pashyan hi sarvatra samavasthitam ishwaram nahi nastyatmanatmanam tato yati param gatim. When one sees this, for seeing the Lord abiding equally everywhere, he does not injure the self by the self. Therefore, he attains the supreme goal. This is a beautiful expression that he does not injure the self by the self. The Because there is no desire. Our desire means injury. What is, for example, if you have the desire to eat a cookie, you may say simple desire, you are injuring the cookie, is it not? The cookie, it gets broken, it gets destroyed. All our enjoyments are really like that, that it is a destruction. And so the one who doesn't have any desire, that person therefore does not destroy anything, does not kill anything, sees the self. See, any other desire, desire means you want to possess it, you want to swallow it, you want to kill it basically. You don't like its separate existence. That is the meaning of having a desire. You don't like its existence apart from you. So therefore you destroy it. But when you see the same self in everything, now there is no destruction. There is no desire. What a life that would be. Just look at that, you know. What a life of peace and blessedness will be there. It is the life that is full of bliss and love. All the time, the love and the bliss there will not have elations and depressions, because it is supplemented, it is powered by the truth. Our idea of pleasure is powered by untruth, and therefore it doesn't last, it goes away. It rests on erroneous understanding, and therefore that pleasure goes away. It gives rise to suffering. It is funny, but that is how our pleasures in life, they always dwell in comparison. Without comparison with some situation of suffering, we don't have an idea of pleasure here. It is very contradictory thing. Our pleasures depend on our suffering. It is like, because it is all comparison. Our seeing the light, actually, I can see here, if it is only light, I will not be able to see anything. It is light and darkness combined. And without darkness, I cannot see. Only light is not possible to see. It will be only uniform dazzle, that's all. Nothing will be seen. But there is some light and some darkness gets combined somehow and becomes seeable. So similarly, our pleasures in life invariably depend on the sense of suffering in life. It is only in comparison that we can feel, sense, understand these things. I am suffering because I am poor, very little money left with me, because I am putting it on a background of something that when $1 million is my idea of having enough money, and then if I have $900,000, then I will be suffering. Oh, I am so poor, I have got only $900,000. But if somebody's idea of having enough money is, say, $1,000, then wow, I have got $900,000. Wow, it is a tremendously rich person. So how you place it, on what background you place it, that determines the pleasure. I told many times that it was so funny to read it in New York Times long back. Memoirs of a soldier coming back from Iraq, they were recorded. And he said that, oh, the stench of the corpses, it was terrible, my goodness, it was very difficult to bear all that. But after a few days, somehow you learn to tolerate it. It is not that bad. Then after a few days, you get accustomed to it. After a few days, you get so accustomed to it that when I came back, I started missing it. Because the pleasure depended on it, you know. That is the background, you see. That Sri Ramakrishna used to tell the story of the fishing basket of the lady. That fisherwoman, she always had that fish smell all around. And so one day she sold her fish things in the shop and then was coming with her fish basket going back to her village. And then it became night, so she decided to seek shelter in somebody's house for that night. So she knocked on one door. Incidentally, that house belonged to a florist, all fragrant flowers there. So the florist lady said, "Oh, welcome, you know, feel at home. It is," and she gave her a nice room to sleep. All flowers were there, and this lady couldn't sleep, always kept on changing the sides. She couldn't understand. The bed was okay, everything in the room was fine, there were no bed bugs or mosquitoes, and was not able to sleep. Why? And then she discovered that the fragrance of the flowers was not letting her sleep. And so she went out, got her that fish basket, and sprinkled water on it, put her nose in it, and then started snoring. So it is. Swami Vivekananda tells this story in the Inspired Talks and says, "Dear, make sure that this world doesn't become our fish basket." It is a terrible situation. The source of happiness is this knowledge of this supreme truth, that oneness, that is the source of bliss. And so, therefore, he tells, Lord says here, tato yati param gatim, thereby you reach the state of supreme blessedness. Param means supreme. There is nothing more than that. There is no achievement more than that. There is nothing to compare there for more. It is this supreme. You have reached the Everest of happiness. And now there is no higher peak to climb onto. So it is like that. No, therefore, the next verse says that prakritya cha karmani kriyamanani sarvashah yah pasyati tathatmanam akartaram sa pasyati. Who sees that actions are in every way performed only by prakriti, and likewise sees the self as the non-doer, alone sees the truth. I am not doing anything. It is the body, the prakriti means only the objects. I am not eating the some matter changes the place. It was there in the plate. It went into the bag that I call my stomach, that's all. It is, it has just changed the place. No action is performed ever by the unchanging self. It is not touched by anything, it doesn't get involved in any action. So know that truth. It is only the matter that changes, never the self. So, and when one sees that sapashyati, that word is used again, that such a person then sees the truth. Yada bhuta prithak bhavam ekastham anupashyati. Again same word, pashyati, properly seeing. Yada bhuta prithak bhavam ekatvam ekastham anupashyati tata eva cha vistaram brahma sampadyate tada. A great idea. that you see that vistaram, tata evacha vistaram, that one is seen, manifested in many different ways. A great principle that is very special to Vedanta philosophy. Sankhya sees that there are two principles. One called Prakriti, the matter. Another principle, consciousness, that is separate from it. But Vedanta says it is one person being only that appears manifold. Just by names, the ocean is one and the waves are many, but it is ocean alone that appears as waves. It is the screen alone that appears as so many pictures. It is the manifestation of one that appears as many. When one sees that again, that is the real seeing. Anadityat nirgunatvat paramatma ayam avyayah sharirasthopi kaunteya na karoti na lipyate. That the Supreme Self, being without a beginning and devoid of attributes, is immutable. Remember, this is again and again emphasized, that although it is felt in the body, it is immutable, untouched by body. Whatever actions are performed by the body, the Self does not do anything whatsoever. It doesn't undergo any change. It is all untouched. It is somebody you may see in the screen and giving a bill on the movie, writing a big check of donation. And you may see somebody shooting, murdering somebody. And the screen doesn't touch by any of the actions. You don't go and congratulate or honor the screen for giving the big donation. Screen did not give any big donation. It did not commit any murder either. So the true Self in us does not get involved in any of the actions. Shariras-thopi, although resides in the body, that is a very beautiful idea. The screen resides in every picture and yet does not do anything that you see, that these pictures are doing. This is just, friends, an analogy, but we have to internalize this great message that I am not doing anything. And when one comes to that, you can see the level of peace and bliss goes on increasing in our life. If not, whatever may be the situation, it is always suffering, either present or coming. That's all. If you have ordered, you are already having a suffering, or you have placed an order for it. That's all. The difference between that is only this, that you have ordered suffering. When we go for an enjoyment, it is an ordering of the suffering. Okay, that will come later, that's all. So, and therefore does not get tainted. And then in the next verse, same example that we saw of the sky that is given. Yatha sarvagatam saufmyat akasham nopalipyate sarvatravasthito dehe tathatma nopalipyate. Just as the all-pervading ether, being subtle, is not contaminated, so is the Self located in every body, not contaminated. It doesn't get contaminated at all. So, let us remember that when one sees that the Self is in the body, so whatever the body does, then the Self is responsible for that? No. The one who is identified with the body, that is responsible for that, not the Self. The one who is not identified is not responsible for anything. Yatha prakashayatyekah krishnam lokamimam ravi kshetram kshetri tatha krishnam prakashayati bharata. That again the principle of oneness, sameness of the seer is described here. Even as the one sun illuminates the whole world, even so descendant of Bharata does the embodied soul illuminates all bodies. It is noon time and I see the sun on my head, and maybe in Lincoln at that time. And if I told her that, well, the sun was on my head, Swami, it can't be. I was in Lincoln at that time and I clearly saw it was on my head. Now it is on the head of so many. The same sun. Not that there is one sun on her head and another sun was sitting on my head. No. It is the same sun. So it is very important to know that it is belongs to everyone, that one being, that one God, that is inside the illuminator of every being, that is one and the same, my God, your God, Christian God, Hindu God, the Protestant God and the Catholic God, and then Jewish God and Muslim God, so many. And we have divided God also in so many pieces because of our tendency of separating. Everything is divided then. But Lord here therefore brings that understanding that the Self in all is same, and that is God. So what a beautiful idea. Kshetra kshetra jnayorevam antaram jnana chakshusha bhuta prakriti moksham cha ye vidu yanti te param. The last verse of this beautiful illuminating chapter, friends. Those who thus perceive with the eye of knowledge the difference between the kshetra and kshetrajna, perceived and the perceiver, when we see the distinction between them by the eye of knowledge, then as also the means of freedom from the cause of being attained supreme, that is the way to attain the supreme, that you become liberated then, you discover that nothing can bind you, you are beyond time, beyond space. It has all these appearances, they come and go over you without touching you at all. They cannot bind you, and thus you attain the freedom. This is the glory that of knowledge. That knowledge liberates. When you know the truth liberates us. So let us get established in this knowledge. This knowledge, let it not just sit in our intellect for a moment, but let it illuminate our understanding. Let it percolate and get converted as into all our tendencies that govern life. Let every moment of life be led in the light of this knowledge, and then that freedom, that bliss and peace, that will be ours then, and then alone, friends, never in ignorance. Any questions? Yes, please.
The cause of all our beings is the same, but we have not yet answered that question as to why this being is me and that being is you and not vice versa. Why you are seeing the movie as your world and I am seeing some other movie and not vice versa?
Oh, well, that is why not vice versa? It is the false identification. Question is very nice. That sometimes the ignorance One aspect of the ignorance is to latch on to some sense of permanence, that if the different pieces of matter and I associate I with this lump of matter and you with that lump of matter, then why is it always so? It should be changing, is it not? Sometime I should associate I with that lump of matter and but I always associate you with that lump of matter and not this lump of matter. This lump of matter, which then why is it always considered as I? Here, friends, this question is so beautiful question that you can see that we see that what a nice question it is. It is correct. There is some problem with this Vedanta, that same self, how if it is same self, why should I be always associating with this nose as my nose and that silly nose as Vishwanath's nose? Then it is, why so? It is, it should be sometimes changed as, no, that is also my nose, this is not my nose. Why it doesn't happen? The reason for this is we superimpose that sameness in the changing matter also. That it is really not the same nose at all. It is, the matter is continuously changing there. It is not same. It is an illusion of sameness. And it is not the same body. And the body is continuously, every moment changing. But because of ignorance, this superimposition of not changing comes to the body. It is not, nothing there is actually like my body. It is a false perception. It is an aspect of the ignorance that you associate I with something, and then because you associate I, which is same, with something, that something also, although changing, start appearing as unchanging. And you say, describing your body, that, you know, I had always been like this. I always catch cold. Now what is always there? The I, same I, is superimposed on the changing matter. What is same there? The flame that is in the nose. Is it same every time you catch the cold? Or no, you blow the nose and throw it out. It is a different thing, but you associate sameness with it. That it is not same. You get cough and you throw, oh, is it the next time you get the cough, is it same? It is not same, but because of ignorance, that gets superimposed, that sameness of the self, like I was telling, that the color of the cloth gets superimposed on the crystal there, and you see the crystal as red. So, the unchanging nature of the self also gets superimposed on the changing body, and that is why it is a very complex knot, and which is unchanging and which is unchanging, changing, we are not able to say. As one saint says, that split black beans, when that's, or black lentils, when you split them, then one side appears to be white, another appears to be black. And so if you are told, separate the black ones from the white ones, you cannot separate, because every existing grain is black as well as white. It is a complex knot of both. And yet black is opposite of white. Not that you don't know what is black and what is white, but when you try to put that into things, everything is black as well as white. So, when you try to separate, you know what is changing, what is unchanging. But this changing body, changing matter and unchanging self they get mixed up in ignorance to such an extent that you get these questions, that why there will be the sameness. Many such questions do come in this. Thank you to the questioner. Very good.
Swami?
Yes, please.
In the life of Thakur and Holy Mother, we see that, you know, someone walking on the grass and he gets in pain.
Yeah.
Or someone beating up or the Holy Mother, the cat and all that. What are they identifying there with what?
Because of the knowledge, what happens, they don't have an identification attached to only one particular piece all the time. So therefore, their attachment is being that freedom, they can attach to that as well as to this. Their body therefore is at one time itself, there is a lot of expansion there of awareness here, there, everywhere, and whatever they identify. I had given some nice examples about it, that how they feel it and we do not, we also feel it. It is, once this question was asked to me, that incident, and that many saints have these experiences, that when a big Jnaneshwar Maharaj, that Saint Jnaneshwar, was asked, you say that there is same self in everyone, if I beat this buffalo, do you feel that? And then the buffalo was being whipped and Jnaneshwar had this on his back, all that marks. That and then somebody says, well, that is just a story, not a, it can't happen like that. I said, no dear, it is real, it is not story. Come on, let me explain it to you. Suppose somebody slaps on your cheek. Why water comes from the eye? It should come only from the cheek, is it not? The eye is not hit. Why should eye get affected? Why should the tear come from the eye and not from the cheek? Because that eye and the cheek, they have the sense of oneness, the same eye. Now when that sense gets expanded further, when, say, your child is sick, now that is a separate body. Why you feel sick? Why you feel worried? It is your child. It is, that is a separate piece of matter. Why it gets reflected on you? Because to some extent your eye is in that body as well. Now for a person who can identify and disidentify with any piece of matter, the one who is free, and that person can see the same eye in anything and therefore can feel it very clearly. So that is the explanation, which is not a mesmerizing effect or any such thing. It is clearly a true case of identifying the awareness with any particular piece of matter. When you see that, it is, you feel it like that. When you have that patriotic feelings, that my country, and when so US becomes victorious in some war, let alone war, even in some sport, and victors, your club becomes victorious, why you should feel elated? That I is put there, and so you feel it. So that is why this sense of Thakur Sri Ramakrishna seeing that somebody is walking on that patch of grass, at that moment his body was not being felt by him only as this. It had expanded, and so he felt it on this person as well. It is an expansion and freedom of awareness that is expressed by this.
Swami,
One more question. That phrase injuring self.
Injuring self by self. There the terminology self is not the actual real self, but the perceived self.
That is exactly the case, yeah. Otherwise this term becomes meaningless. It is the self that is identified with one piece of matter and another piece of matter. So one self thinks in ignorance that I am killing another self. This person who sees the same self everywhere therefore doesn't get any desire, and so the killing doesn't happen. Correct?
Will you get that perception, Swami? The Mahina Atma Ashram and that.
Yeah, that is.
How can anybody function? Because I know one cannot hurt somebody, one cannot kill anybody and see the same self. But how can a person in that state function in this world?
It functions without this illusion. This person functions. Therefore the life of this person is so beautiful and so special a life. Described in the many places, at the end of the second chapter you say this, that science of the wise, this one who is established in wisdom, lives like us and yet not like us.
So it is not like a nirvikalpa samadhi state.
No, that person will be doing all actions and yet will be eating, but without the awareness, that erroneous awareness of enjoyment. There is always bliss, there is no enjoyment per se. Any other question? That's okay. So, thus we concluded the 13th chapter, and we shall from the month of May, we may begin the 14th chapter. It is one notice that there is a beautiful concert coming Sunday by a great vocalist of North Indian classical music. He will be